Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Stadium. Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 16th of April 2018. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, we hear from Peter Cech on 200 Premier League clean sheets. Adrian Clarke looks ahead to Derby Day against West Ham at the chalkboard. We kick off as ever by looking back at the trip to St James's Park with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, I commentated for Arsenal alongside former Gunners midfielder David Hillier on the game at Newcastle, and David joins me now. Very, very frustrating. Took the lead, but in the end, that's five straight Premier League away losses now for the Gunners.
Yeah, it is a bit frustrating when you look at the lineup. Aubameyang, Lacazette starting a game together. We was thinking, would it be exciting, and delivered early doors a goal, and we thought it was going to be, you know, the start of many in a game, and it didn't really happen for Arsenal today, and it ended up being frustrating. Newcastle had a good game plan with a very well-balanced side, and I think, you know, they just edged it, deserving the win. Although Arsenal, again, lion's share of possession, nearly 72%, but unable to convert that into goals.
We saw Arsenal create a fair amount, didn't we, in the first 45 minutes. Got the goal, we'll come on to that in a moment, but for whatever reason, particularly in the second half, Newcastle just seemed to counter, didn't they, tactically? And from there, Newcastle just grew into that match, and you just felt the crowd, the confidence and everything grow with them.
Yeah, I think Newcastle defensively was strong. I think Yedlin, Lascelles, Lejeune at the back were good. Kennedy was a great release from down that left-hand side, and towards the end of the game, they exposed a lot of space and maybe fatigue in the Arsenal ranks in that behind the right back, behind Callum Chambers, and who had a very good game first off. I thought Callum, you know, he looked strong, but he was asked to do a lot down that right-hand side, and time took its toll, and, you know, they was just a bit more clinical when it came to finishing off their chances.
Now, one positive from Arsenal's point of view was the goal and the manner that it came. Questions about whether Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Alexandre Lacazette can play together. Very much answered with the opening goal.
This is Mustafi towards Aubameyang. Can he control? He can. It's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang wants to centre it back for Lacazette. Brilliant finish. That's how that they combine. Aubameyang raced forward on the left-hand side, controlled and then flicked it over just outside the six-yard box. And Alex Lacazette thumped beyond Dubravka, and Arsenal have the advantage. Maybe we are in for one or two goals today.
And it was a very positive strike, wasn't it, for a variety of reasons?
Yeah, it was a good run initially from Aubameyang pulling off of the defenders, and it was a great ball into him. Brought it down and decided early doors that he'd put it across the box left-footed, and you know, he put it across at some pace. Lacazette arrived perfectly low with that volley, didn't he? And the brother could do nothing in goal to stop it. And you just thought to yourself, wow, if they can work like that. But that opportunity was the only one they really had together.
And you think of Lacazette as the out-and-out striker in this instance, Aubameyang out on the left, with whoever you wish to then play around them in your 4-2-3-1 formation, given the game, given the opportunities for selection. It's a good one, hopefully, for Arsenal to try and work with in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got to take this game in the context it was as well. Arsenal were looking to keep their players fit and healthy for the Europa Cup. And, you know, as much as you want to fly into every challenge and rush around and give 150%, you've got to be holding back something sometimes for the bigger picture. And I think Arsenal had that in mind. Also, with the changes that they made in the side, taking out Ozil, Ramsey and Wiltshire, did take a bit of the creativity out of the side. But looking at how they finished with Welbeck, Aubameyang, you know, and Nketiah on the pitch, Lacazette, what a lovely forward line, and what an opportunity to get two players on the pitch. Again, Ainsley Maitland-Niles getting on the pitch as well, along with our debutant, Joe Willock. I mean, it was a great day for the young players of Arsenal, although the result wasn't what we'd have hoped.
It's a tough day for Joe to come in for his first Premier League appearance and really maybe portray himself in his absolute best. Like, we know what an exciting young player he is at 18, everything he's done in the first team in the Cups, obviously at Premier League 2 and at youth team level. To try and get that right balance between impressing but not being over-eager to impress, it's not easy, is it?
No, it was difficult. And, he came on and the very first touch he had was just slightly a bit loose. And he struggled to get his game back. Although he didn't have a bad game, I just think he was looking to be involved. But he looked like he was on the outside looking in at a game being played rather than being involved in it and being a kingpin in it. But, you know, he got a good nearly 70 minutes on the pitch, and I think that'll stand him in good stead, and he'll get some experience from that for his next game.
Granit Xhaka and Mohamed Elneny as the two in the engine room, I thought both had very good games, actually, throughout when Arsenal were on top in the match, and then even when they were chasing it and struggling a bit, I thought they still held things together pretty well.
Yeah, and I think there was the added responsibility on those two players, being experienced midfield players now, alongside younger players, to sort of be the ones that found that pass into the forward. And without Mesut Ozil there, I think Elneny at times found himself in positions where he was playing those key passes, and he did it well at times. But, you know, he isn't Mesut Ozil, so let's give him not a lot of stick for that. Let's give him a bit of credit for the game he did play. He plugged away, he worked his socks off, he covered a lot of ground, but unfortunately it was just that final third, it just didn't click after that initial goal when we thought everything was going to be so rosy from a forward point of view today.
Just finish off analysing the match itself by looking at the back, then you mentioned how Callum Chambers at right back, perhaps not his ostensibly ideal position, did really well for the best part of an hour, then tired a bit. But there were other occasions as well, weren't there, where the Arsenal back line just didn't quite be as cohesive as it needed to be.
Yeah, I think you've got to give credit to Dwight Gale from that. He's got good experience of running the line. He's an older fashioned footballer. He doesn't always come to feet. Sometimes he'll threaten the back of you. When Perez was going to feet, he was running behind, giving Newcastle two options all the time. And I think at times he did it well when he ran across the front of Mustafi a couple of times. And for the goal, he just made a really good run, a good hold-up play, got himself in a position to set the cross for Yedlin to put it in and Perez to make that great run. And you've got to give credit to forward players when they make things happen. So from that point of view, he did make it difficult for the Arsenal central defenders.
Well, that's the take of David Hillier on the match. Let's get the thoughts of Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger.
Well, it's a bit the story of a season, 70% of possession and many chances, 1-0 up. And in the end, you wonder how you could lose the game after the game when you saw the game. And because we didn't put our chances to bed, because we made unbelievable mistakes on the two goals. And as well, because I still feel that for some players, the game we played in Russia on Thursday night had a weight in the second half.
The take of the boss, and from here, for once, there's no midweek game. So it's back to Emirates Stadium and West Ham. We'll talk about that game in detail with Adrian Clarke at the chalkboard. But with that wider set of fixtures, West Ham, first leg of the Europa League semi-final, Atletico Madrid, Man United, Atleti again. It's a very important second half of April.
Yeah, the Athletic games are obviously going to be the ones that are, you know, paramount in the manager's mind. So the games in between that will be looking after the squad, preparing them for those games. The United one will just be a clash of Mourinho and Arsene Wenger again. It always does rile up that old beast, doesn't it? So I'll be looking forward to that one. However much players are going to want to hold back in that, it won't happen. Arsenal, Man U, it doesn't happen. I can tell you that from experience. But the West Ham game, it'll be good prep for the semi-final against Atletico. And, you know, Arsenal got a fantastic opportunity getting through in that.
How important to get results just to keep momentum for Europe going until this defeat? It had been 6 wins and a draw in all competitions in 7 for the Gunners. That run has ended. Is that a major concern in its own right?
Do you know what? I think today's side will be so different from the ones that feature in against Atletico in key positions. Not necessarily, you know, quite a few of them players, 5 or 6 of them players will still be involved. But when the key players come back in the real, really important positions, and the ones and the players that have played together consistently throughout the season, Russ, you know, it ain't like they've just been chucked together on a Thursday. No disrespect to this side, but they'd have been put together on Friday and had 2 days to prepare for today. Whereas the Europe side, they're the regular best available 11 for Arsenal. They'll be most used to it. So I don't think you can really compare the two. I think it's out of context a little bit.
The final question I want to raise with you then, David, is away from home in the Premier League, in that run of 6 wins and a draw, there have been no away Premier League fixtures the way things had fallen. And that is now a fairly worrying statistic, isn't it? It's 5 straight losses away from home in the league. First time that's happened since 1984. First time it's happened to start a calendar year since 1925. And now, only just over 20% now of Arsenal's points have come away from home in the Premier League this year, season.
That's right. And I did mention that, you know, 5 of the last 12 away games when we scored first, we've lost. You know, and not against great sides, against Swansea, I mean, struggling, bottom of the league. Bournemouth, okay. Newcastle, you'd expect not to be losing against them when you go into the lead. That's something that the club certainly need to work on and the coaching staff. But, again, put it into context of the players playing today, the what is on this game, as opposed to what is on the game in 2 games' time, the game after West Ham. So you can forgive them for just having their foot off the gas a little bit and taking care of themselves when they're looking at the bigger picture.
David Hilliard, always a pleasure to commentate with you. Shame about the result from an Arsenal point of view, but look forward to working with you again soon.
Yeah, shame about the result, but great day with you again, Russ. Cheers.
So Peter Cech became the first goalkeeper to keep 200 Premier League clean sheets in the 3-0 victory against Watford back in March. He's been talking to our very own Adrian Clarke about his secrets to success.
Being a goalkeeper is a very unique position, of course. What are the core attributes you need to become a keeper?
Well, I think you need to be mentally strong, and that's, you know, a lot of people use that, but it's actually probably the biggest asset as a goalkeeper you need to have to succeed, because, you know, ever since you start playing in goal, you actually play with a lot of pressure, and no matter at what age, and obviously, better you become, if you become professional, then obviously in the professional football, the scrutiny is even bigger and the pressure becomes very big. But even as a kid, you know, you have this pressure of conceding goals. It's not, something you really enjoy, because, you know, as a striker, you miss few chances, you score one goal. It might be even the winning goal, and then you are the hero of the game. So it's easier to live with than if you make 5 saves and then last minute, you know, you live in... a goal which is completely soft, and then everybody just turns and think like, phew, the keeper should have saved it, and he lost us the game. So, you know, it's a kind of a tough job to be a goalkeeper, especially when you are a kid.
Yeah, well, talking of pressure, you were under it recently. You were stuck on 199 clean sheets for quite some time. You made it eventually to 200 clean sheets. Fantastic achievement. What did that mean to you?
Well, it's an amazing personal achievement, and when you come to Premier League, and when I came to Premier League, I wanted obviously to do my best, and as a goalkeeper you always dream about having a clean sheet every game, and which is impossible, but you always try, you know, to do your best, and you hope that every game you go you don't concede, your team wins, and then you can win trophies together with the team, which is the ultimate prize obviously. But I would say, you know, the clean sheets are something like goals for strikers, and you're always proud of any achievement like that. And I have to say that, you know, it's a huge advantage to your team if you keep a clean sheet, because you just need to score one goal for 3 points, and it can make a huge difference in your season.
Yeah, absolutely. You touched on what I was going to ask you next, actually, in terms of, does it feel like scoring a goal when you keep a clean sheet? Obviously, you'd look a bit silly if you celebrated on the pitch at the final whistle, yes, I've got a clean sheet, but inside, does it give you a real buzz every time it happens?
Yes, it's the satisfaction of having the job done, and obviously, it depends as well how the team does, yeah? Because I always say that I prefer to win 5-4 than draw 0-0. Because in terms of the like a season achievements, obviously you want to be winning games with your team rather than collecting clean sheets for 0-0. And so I can always be more satisfied with the win, even 5-4, than playing 0-0. But obviously it depends on circumstances. If you are the team who is actually playing very badly and then 0-0 is like a victory, then obviously you take it big time.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, let's talk about goalkeeping in a little bit more detail. First up, let's talk penalties. Now, we all know it took you quite a while to get your first spot kick save in Arsenal colours. But going back to that save, excellent save from Troy Deeney, it looked to me as if you maybe altered your technique, you delayed your dive a little bit, because a lot of strikers these days or takers go down the middle. Is there something you'd consciously done there?
Well, you try to do it all the time. You don't want to go too early, but then obviously you have a split second for decision, and if the player disguised the shot in the middle quite well, then you know you always move to the direction you think the player goes. And I have to say, it's been a frustrating run because previously I've been saving penalties in the big games and Champions League final, then you have FA Cup final and shootouts.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
It's quite amazing, and then suddenly, the run started coming, and you go 10 without saving one, and then suddenly became 12, 13, 15, and then you think like, well, this is impossible, because, I keep doing the same thing and preparing the same way, and suddenly,
Did you feel the pressure then? Did the pressure build on you?
Like a frustration, because that's something, when you prepare and you do the thing, and you've done everything to prepare, and then you kind of fail to accomplish that, and it takes some time. You feel the frustration of that, but I think the main part is that you have to, go through it and carry on working. Is the last thing is to, try to keep thinking too much about it and keep changing things, because you need to believe in what you're doing, and I think that is the key.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
So Adrian Clark joins me at the chalkboard. And Clark, you've just been hearing your interview with Peter Cech, or a good chunk of it, and plenty more to come, I'm pleased to say, as well on the podcast. What would you say is your biggest thing you took away from it? Let's have that as our question at the chalkboard.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah, look, first and foremost, it was great to sit down with him. We had a good long chat, and I'm pleased to see it used on the podcast. The two standout bits, I think, were on his concentration levels, where he was telling us that basically he's so in the moment, so concentrated. He won't notice substitutions. He said he was talking about, you know, how he was at a game once where there was no crowd and just his parents were behind the goal, or his mum was behind the goal, and he was so there focused that he didn't even notice and wouldn't take the blind bit of notice. So yeah, intense concentration levels that it takes to be a top class goalie. And also the bit on his distribution I thought was really interesting. It was basically explaining how keepers these have to tailor their distribution to the manager and to the style of the team that they're representing. Basically, in essence, he was saying that, look, if he needed to be a really ball-playing goalkeeper like Edison at Manchester City, if that was the way that he was encouraged to play, then he could potentially do that here at Arsenal, and that keepers just have to mould their way around managerial philosophies. And he was talking about the changes in distribution. But look, the whole interview I found really interesting. I think for any aspiring young goalkeeper, it's a bit of a must-listen, really. Lots of good tips in there.
OK, so with all of that in mind, Clarky, it's back to the Premier League and West Ham United as the next game here at Emirates Stadium. And when you focus on the league itself, very important to get back to winning ways after the Newcastle match.
Yeah, look, you don't want to be losing games, do you? Look, our form at home has been good all season long. We know what the problem is away from home. We just cannot pick up any points at the moment. That's disappointing. Let's set that aside. Yeah, we want to build momentum. We want to finish the season with a bang, and we want to send the supporters home happy. We don't want this negative vibe around the club, especially with two big semi-finals against Atletico Madrid to come. So, look, this is an opportunity to bounce back from the disappointment of the Newcastle result and to put our London rivals to the sword and to build up some self-belief, give the players a shot in the arm ahead of that big double header against the Spaniards.
And league table-wise, just for a moment, obviously Burnley have refound their form over the last couple of months, and the gap between Arsenal and Burnley, 6th to 7th, is now perhaps the major battle, with Chelsea eking that further bit away over the weekend.
Yeah,
just gone.
It's perceptions, isn't it? Look, to me, it doesn't matter whether you're 5th, 6th, or 7th, genuinely, because there's no great... You're not in the Champions League, you're in the Europa League. I don't see the big difference.
I suppose 6th to 7th, depending if Arsenal win the Europa League or not, it might.
Potentially, but I feel that you don't want to finish behind Burnley. It's just perceptions. There is the Big Six. They're known as the Big Six. We're supposedly ahead of the rest of the league. And if for some reason to finish behind Burnley, it would be seen as a bit of an embarrassment, really. So I think it's really important, actually, in that context, that we do fend them off. And I think we will. But, yeah, it's getting a bit close for comfort.
Now, West Ham as a team, it's just been a bizarre, almost soap opera of a season, hasn't it? We saw those incredibly toxic scenes a few weeks ago. We've then seen a bit of a bounce back with an unexpected big win. Mm-hmm. Issues with the boardroom, disconnect with the fans, a manager who's kind of been a bit hit and miss, mm-hmm. players the same. It's a really, really odd one to quantify.
Yeah, not a great season if you're a West Ham United supporter. They're in a funny position, aren't they? Because no one really knows if David Moyes is sticking around or not. He's only on a short-term contract. You feel like the team is very much in transition. I think they're there for the taking. They will see this as an opportunity to get the points they need to survive. But, I just feel that away from home, there's a fragility about West Ham. I've seen them a few times on the road this season, and they do give up chances. They're not the toughest team to play against. I think James Collins at the back is a bit of a rock for them. He can be quite heroic on occasion. But the midfield has been really sluggish without Aubameyang. Kouyaté and Noble have been found wanting legs-wise at times this season. So we can get at West Ham, and I think we can beat them if we play to our potential.
As we've seen there, they do pose threats, and the return fixture earlier in the season in December, I think, wasn't it, would be a good example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, yeah, they pose threats. Of course they do. They've got good players. Up top, Arnautovic has been a bit of a revelation, actually, as a striker.
Terrific start to his time.
Yeah, but he's turned it around under Moyes, and you wonder why no managers have played him up front before, because he looks like a centre-forward, and I think he's a really quite a good centre-forward, especially away from home, because he's got mobility in the channels, but he can also, he's big enough to hold the ball, and he's got that bit of magic in his armoury, and... Look, it wouldn't surprise me if he produced one of those moments in this game. It's the type of fixture that he could rise to. So Arnautovic needs to be marshalled really carefully by whoever it is, Mustafi, Koscielny, Chambers, Holding. They need to get tight to him.
We saw Arsene Wenger make six changes from the Europa League second leg quarterfinal against CSKA Moscow. I guess by the time we get to West Ham, that Atleti first leg is just a few days away. Mm. I wonder how Wenger will treat his 11 and bench, therefore, for the Hammers.
I still think of Rattay. I think he's set his stall out now. He's given youngsters a chance, given Reece Nelson a chance. He's given Joe Willock an opportunity. That's what the league games are partly there for now. And he's going to keep the big guns nice and fresh. It's a balancing act. And I think only he knows which players need the rest more than others. So, he'll judge it accordingly. We know that Aubameyang, if he's fit, he will play. That's great news. Great assist, wasn't it, for Lacazette in the last game. So, I'm not worried about the team selection. It'll be strong enough to beat West Ham. No question about that. It's about the team. Is their mentality going to be right? Are they going to impose their quality and will on what is a very, very average West Ham team? If we lose this game, we'll have ourselves to blame.
5 second team talk. Yeah. If you are Arsene Wenger preparing for events here at the Emirates.
I don't need 5 seconds. Look at the table, boys. We're not having Burnley finish above us.
3 second team talk with an intense stare. We love it. You mentioned Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang there. He's about to feature in this.
Reign of Arsenal.
The Arsenal Weekly podcast editor Liam Roberts has been, as ever, lurking, listening to our conversation. Liam, good to have you back. We missed you last week.
No, you didn't.
Did we?
No, you didn't.
Well, I did because I got hammered.
You said.
Good to get you back.
I heard what you said, so I know you did. Amazingly, we had one telephone line and it was decided that Adrian Clarke was more important to this feature than me, so.
Outrageous. Outrageous. I'm slightly ahead of these questions. I'm slightly regretting my line that I said Alec was my favourite. I feel that I'm going to get my comeuppance shortly.
Well, we'll see. So... week one for you, as you said.
Yeah, Emerick Aubameyang. Life and times thereof.
Before Arsenal, you said as well, didn't you?
I didn't, but...
You did. That's,
no,
you did. You did.
I didn't intend to.
You did, yeah. I listened. I wasn't here, but I did listen to the podcast. Good. Need those downloads.
So I wasted an extra 10 minutes on the train about the first few weeks of his time here.
Fine. Deal with it, Russ. Come on.
OK, so do you want your first or second?
First, get out of the way.
OK, and so your four questions start now. Pierre started his career at AC Milan. How many games did he play for them in 3 years?
None.
Correct. Question two. How many club career goals had he scored before he joined us?
OK. So he has scored now 202 in all competitions aside from Gabon. So therefore, 196.
Yeah, correct. Good maths. who did he score his first international goal against?
I was reading this a few minutes ago. Morocco.
Correct. Question four. Who did he score his final goal for Borussia Dortmund against?
I think it was in the German Cup final, which was his last trophy. So I'm going to say... No, actually, that's not true, because he then scored a couple... No, that's not true. I don't know. We have to guess randomly. He always beats up on Augsburg. That was one thing I noticed from all his stats. So I'm going to say Augsburg.
No, it's Hoffenheim. Good effort, though. 3 out of 4. Solid.
Yeah, decent.
So, Adrian, as you said, Glenn Helder, week 2.
Helder. Yeah, let's do this.
Look, actually, there is not much on Glenn Helder left, so I really hope you don't get more than 3.
Okay.
Sorry. And what you said about me last week. Question one, how many assists? He was a winger. How many assists did he get for Arsenal?
Oh, didn't even know they recorded assists back then.
On the website, they definitely did.
You really? Oh, wow. That's a week 3 question, that. 39 games, 27 starts. I don't think there was a lot. One goal, I'd say 6. No assists.
Big at zero.
No assist. Oh dear, oh dear.
He actually didn't record an assist for 4 years in club, at club football. Oh dear.
I like your idea that there actually weren't any assists.
He used to sometimes keep me out of the team.
Yeah.
Right, I don't know what that tells you about me, but
didn't
there you
want
go.
Didn't say anything, but yeah. Question two.
He was bought for big money.
Which two shirt numbers did Glenn wear for us?
He wore number 32 and 11.
Correct. Question three. What date did Glenn sign for us?
Oh, goodness me. That was February, and it was in 1995. What's it for? 95. Definitely February 95. You should give me that, really. I'm going to say 20th.
It's about Valentine's Day, 14th.
Okay. That's a beast of a question, that.
Question four.
Who remembers when players sign? It's their debuts, isn't it?
Well, Wikipedia really? Remembers. You should be looking at that straight away.
Okay, fine.
Question four. Why is the date 22nd of July 2006 special for Glenn and his Arsenal career?
2006. He played in a Bergkamp testimonial.
Correct. 2 out of 4, good effort. But it's over, I don't have to research it anymore.
Yeah, the ring Glenn held it, which you thought you were going to have to do.
That was it, yeah.
Three.
Was, yeah.
Glenn, what time were you born?
You're not going to like my next subject then.
Got it.
Look, it's the man in the shorts. We all want to know more about Vic Akers, don't we? So, look, he's an Arsenal legend. It doesn't matter if it's minus 100 degrees, he'll still have those shorts on. So let's do the life and times of Vic.
Slightly easier for me, so I'll take that.
Clarkie, great work. When can we see and or hear you again?
Thank you very much. I'm in the commentary box for the West Ham game, so looking forward to it.
The final word this week belongs to Super Bowl winner and massive gooner Jay Ajayi. Jay visited Emirates Stadium and London Colney with the Vince Lombardi Trophy just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, this is pretty state-of-the-art where we are right now, Arsenal's ground. It's really cool to kind of see where these guys come and put in the work and how they, you know, have to come here. And this is where all of that starts before they come out on the pitch. And so to see, you know, all the little things they're doing, it's really cool for me. As a professional, obviously, I just, you know, they want to see the parallels, you know, what did they do on their side of things to get themselves ready to go out and play compared to, you know, what we do in the NFL, on working to make ourselves ready to play each game as well. This is my club from birth. You know, I've been an Arsenal fan from time, and so to be able to now get the opportunities to come back and be around the facility and even meet players, you know, that I grew up idolising and, you know, wanting to be, you know, in their same shoes. It's a crazy feeling, and obviously my journey is amazing, and so I'm just very thankful to be able to see this and enjoy it.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Peter Cech and to Jay Ajayi, plus to David Hillier and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and find us on Acast these days. Remembering as well to get your questions into Clarkie at the Chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. Until then, it's bye for now, and we're back on Monday, the 23rd of April.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.